Chapter 140. For that young lady, my admiration of her character, my devotion to her for her love and truth, and goodness. Take me, said Mr. Micawber, down a turning, for, upon my soul, in my present state of mind I am not equal to this. We wheeled him off into a narrow street, where he took out his pocket handkerchief, and stood with his back to a wall. If I looked as gravely at him as Traddles did, he must have found our company by no means inspiriting. It is my fate, said Mr. Micawber, unfeignedly sobbing, but doing even that, with a shadow of the old expression of doing something genteel. It is my fate, gentlemen, that the finer feelings of our nature have become reproaches to me. My homage to Miss Wickfield is a flight of arrows in my bosom. You had better leave me, if you please, to walk the earth as a vagabond. The worm will settle my business in double quick time. Without attending to this invocation, we stood by until he put up his pocket handkerchief, pulled up his shirt collar, and, to delude any person in the neighborhood who might have been observing him, hummed a tune with his hat very much on one side. I then mentioned not knowing what might be lost, if we lost sight of him, yet that it would give me great pleasure to introduce him to my aunt, if he would ride out to Highgate, where a bed was at his service. You shall make us a glass of your own punch, Mr. Micawber, said I, and forget whatever you have on your mind, in pleasanter reminiscences. Or, if confiding anything to friends will be more likely to relieve you, you shall impart it to us, Mr. Micawber, said Traddles, prudently. Gentlemen, returned Mr. Micawber, do with me as you will. I am a straw upon the surface of the deep, and am tossed in all directions by the elephants. I beg your pardon, I should have said the elements. We walked on, arm in arm, again, found the coach in the act of starting, and arrived at Highgate without encountering any difficulties by the way. I was very uneasy, and very uncertain in my mind what to say, or do for the best so was Traddles, evidently. Mr. Micawber was for the most part plunged into deep gloom. He occasionally made an attempt to smarten himself, and hum the fag end of a tune. But his relapses into profound melancholy were only made the more impressive by the mockery of a hat exceedingly on one side, and a shirt collar pulled up to his eyes. We went to my aunt's house, rather than to mine, because of Dora's not being well. My aunt presented herself on being sent for, and welcomed Mr. Micawber with gracious cordiality. Mr. Micawber kissed her hand, retired to the window, and pulling out his pocket handkerchief, had a mental wrestle with himself. Mr. Dick was at home. He was by nature so exceedingly compassionate of anyone who seemed to be ill at ease, and was so quick to find any such person out, that he shook hands with Mr. Micawber at least half a dozen times in 5 minutes. To Mr. Micawber, in his trouble, this warmth, on the part of a stranger, was so extremely touching, that he could only say, on the occasion of each successive shake, "My dear sir, you overpower me." Which gratified Mr. Dick so much, that he went at it again with greater vigor than before. The friendliness of this gentleman, said Mr. Micawber to my aunt, "if you will allow me, ma'am, to cull a figure of speech from the vocabulary of our coarser national sports floors me. To a man who is struggling with a complicated burden of perplexity and disquiet, such a reception is trying, I assure you." My friend Mr. Dick, replied my aunt proudly, "is not a common man." That I am convinced of, said Mr. Micawber. "My dear sir," for Mr. Dick was shaking hands with him again, "I am deeply sensible of your cordiality." "How do you find yourself?" said Mr. Dick, with an anxious look. "Indifferent, my dear sir," returned Mr. Micawber, sighing. You must keep up your spirits, apostrophe said Mr. Dick, and make yourself as comfortable as possible. Apostrophe, Mr. Micawber was quite overcome by these friendly words, and by finding Mr. Dick's hand again within his own. It has been my lot, apostrophe he observed, to meet, in the diversified panorama of human existence, with an occasional oasis, but never with one so green, so gushing, as the present. Apostrophe, apostrophe, at another time I should have been amused by this, but I felt that we were all constrained and uneasy, and I watched Mr. Micawber so anxiously, in his vacillations between an evident disposition to reveal something, and a counter disposition to reveal nothing, that I was in a perfect fever. Traddles, sitting on the edge of his chair, with his eyes wide open, and his hair more emphatically erect than ever, stared by turns at the ground, and at Mr. Micawber, without so much as attempting to put in a word. My aunt, though I saw that her shrewdest observation was concentrated on her new guest, had more useful possession of her wits than either of us. For she held him in conversation, and made it necessary for him to talk, whether he liked it or not. You are a very old friend of my nephew's, Mr. Micawber, apostrophe said my aunt. I wish I had had the pleasure of seeing you before. Apostrophe, madam, apostrophe returned Mr. Micawber, I wish I had had the honor of knowing you at an earlier period. I was not always the wreck you at present behold. Apostrophe, I hope Mrs. Micawber and your family are well, sir, apostrophe said my aunt. Mr. Micawber inclined his head. They are as well, ma'am, apostrophe he desperately observed after a pause, as aliens and outcasts can ever hope to be. Apostrophe, Lord bless you, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe exclaimed my aunt, in her abrupt way. What are you talking about? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the subsistence of my family, ma'am, apostrophe returned Mr. Micawber, trembles in the balance. My employer, apostrophe, here Mr. Micawber provokingly left off, and began to peel the lemons that had been under my direction set before him, together with all the other appliances he used in making punch. Your employer, you know, apostrophe said Mr. Dick, jogging his arm as a gentle reminder. My good sir, apostrophe returned Mr. Micawber, you recall me, I am obliged to you. Apostrophe they shook hands again. My employer, ma'am Mr. Heap once did me the favor to observe to me, that if I were not in the receipt of the stipendiary emoluments appertaining to my engagement with him, I should probably be a mountebank about the country, swallowing a sword blade, and eating the devouring element. For anything that I can perceive to the contrary, it is still probable that my children may be reduced to seek a livelihood by personal contortion, while Mrs. Micawber abets their unnatural feats by playing the barrel organ. Apostrophe, Mr. Micawber, with a random but expressive flourish of his knife, signified that these performances might be expected to take place after he was no more, then resumed his peeling with a desperate air. My aunt leaned her elbow on the little round table that she usually kept beside her, and eyed him attentively. Notwithstanding the aversion with which I regarded the idea of entrapping him into any disclosure he was not prepared to make voluntarily, I should have taken him up at this point, but for the strange proceedings in which I saw him engaged, whereof his putting the lemon peel into the kettle, the sugar into the snuffer tray, the spirit into the empty jug, and confidently attempting to pour boiling water out of a candlestick, were among the most remarkable. I saw that a crisis was at hand, and it came. He clattered all his means and implements together, rose from his chair, pulled out his pocket handkerchief, and burst into tears. My dear Copperfield, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, behind his handkerchief, this is an occupation, of all others, requiring an untroubled mind, and self-respect. I cannot perform it. It is out of the question. Apostrophe, apostrophe Mr. Micawber, apostrophe said I, what is the matter? Pray speak out. You are among friends. Apostrophe, among friends, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe repeated Mr. Micawber, and all he had reserved came breaking out of him. Good heavens, it is principally because I am among friends that my state of mind is what it is. What is the matter, gentlemen? What is not the matter? Villainy is the matter, baseness is the matter, deception, fraud, conspiracy, are the matter, and the name of the whole atrocious mass is heap. Apostrophe, apostrophe, my aunt clapped her hands, and we all started up, as if we were possessed. The struggle is over. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Micawber, violently gesticulating with his pocket handkerchief, and fairly striking out from time to time with both arms, as if he were swimming under superhuman difficulties. I will lead this life no longer. I am a wretched being, cut off from everything that makes life tolerable. I have been under a taboo in that infernal scoundrel's service. Give me back my wife, give me back my family, substitute Micawber for the petty wretch who walks about in the boots at present on my feet, and call upon me to swallow a sword tomorrow, and I'll do it. With an appetite. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I never saw a man so hot in my life. I tried to calm him, that we might come to something rational, but he got hotter and hotter, and wouldn't hear a word. I'll put my hand in no man's hand, apostrophe, said Mr. Micawber, gasping, puffing, and sobbing, to that degree that he was like a man fighting with cold water, until I have blown to fragments the a detestable serpent heap. I'll partake of no one's hospitality, until I have a moved Mount Vesuvius to eruption on a the abandoned rascal heap. Refreshment day underneath this roof particularly punch would a choke me, unless I had previously choked the eyes out of the head of interminable cheat and liar heap. I'll know nobody and a say nothing, and a live nowhere until I have crushed to a undiscoverable atoms the transcendent and immortal hypocrite and perjurer heap. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I really had some fear of Mr. Micawber's dying on the spot. The manner in which he struggled through these inarticulate sentences, and, whenever he found himself getting near the name of heap, fought his way onto it, dashed at it in a fainting state, and brought it out with a vehemence little less than marvelous, was frightful. But now, when he sank into a chair, steaming, and looked at us, with every possible color in his face, that had no business there, and an endless procession of lumps following one another in hot haste up his throat, whence they seemed to shoot into his forehead, he had the appearance of being in the last extremity. I would have gone to his assistance, but he waved me off, and wouldn't hear a word. No, Copperfield. No communication a until Miss Wickfield a redress from wrongs inflicted by consummate scoundrel heap. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am quite convinced he could not have uttered three words, but for the amazing energy with which this word inspired him, when he felt it coming. Inviolable secret a from the whole world a no exceptions this day week a at breakfast time a everybody present including Aunt a and extremely friendly gentlemen. To be at the hotel at Canterbury, where Mrs. Micawber and myself all lang syne in chorus, and they will expose intolerable ruffian heap. No more to say a or listen to persuasion, go immediately not capable a bear society upon the track of devoted and doomed traitor heap. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with this last repetition of the magic word, that had kept him going at all, and in which he surpassed all his previous efforts, Mr. Micawber rushed out of the house, leaving us in a state of excitement, hope, and wonder, that reduced us to a condition little better than his own. But even then his passion for writing letters was too strong to be resisted. For while we were yet in the height of our excitement, hope, and wonder, the following pastoral note was brought to me from a neighboring tavern, at which he had called to write it. Most secret and confidential. My dear sir, I beg to be allowed to convey, through you, my apologies to your excellent aunt for my late excitement. An explosion of a smoldering volcano long suppressed, was the result of an internal contest more easily conceived than described. I trust I rendered tolerably intelligible my appointment for the morning of this day week, at the House of Public Entertainment at Canterbury, where Mrs. Micawber and myself had once the honor of uniting our voices to yours, in the well-known strain of the immortal exciseman nurtured beyond the Tweed. The duty done, and act of reparation performed, which can alone enable me to contemplate my fellow mortal, I shall be known no more. I shall simply require to be deposited in that place of universal resort, where, each in his narrow cell forever laid, the root forefathers of the hamlet sleep, apostrophe with the plain inscription, Wilkins Micawber, apostrophe, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.